welcome to the Eye on the U podcast, the Miami Herald's Miami Hurricanes podcast. I'm David Wilson, and I'm joined, as always, on the other line by Susan Miller-Degnan, our Hurricanes beat writer here at the Herald. Susan, what's going on?
Well, I'm a little under the weather. That insidious virus finally got me after 2.5 years.
Yeah.
After 2.5 years, I didn't think it could happen. Finally got me.
I guess that's what a week in Disney World can do, right? When you're in the mass of humanity and our
a week in Disney with your kids, grandkids, babies, sick all over
right. It was inevitable when you spend a whole week with a bunch of children and babies that you were gonna get sick, right? You didn't know you were gonna get COVID, but you were gonna come back and get sick.
For sure. And not one and yeah, sick like 24/7. Okay. Yeah. They're always whatever, and what are you gonna do?
But you've been persevering. You've been writing from home all week. I had to fill in for you at the Orange Bowl press conference yesterday. But otherwise, you've been covering all these transfers, and there have been a lot of them. That is our main topic today. It's recruiting season also, but I think we'll do more recruiting stuff next week, which will be our last episode before signing day. This week, the transfer stuff is the big story. What are we up to? 14 right now for Miami 14. That have transferred out? 14.
And there'll be more.
And there will be more. And honestly, we're recording this Thursday morning. Kind of probably like expect at least one more today, right? Just like based on the way things go. Hopefully usually, not anyone too big who will kind of throw off what we're going to talk about today. Everyone knew it was going to be hectic. It's been hectic. You know, this isn't new, right? This portal madness has been around for the last couple of years. Obviously, putting that December 5th start date on it has kind of in a lot of ways like made it easier, right? It's like streamlined it. You don't have to worry about it all throughout the year necessarily. Obviously, Miami had a couple of guys in the last few weeks of the season basically say they were like going to go, right? So a lot of transfers going out from Miami. So far, no transfers coming in, although, as we know, the portal is a two-way street, and Miami will certainly reload at some of these positions and, you know, find a couple starters here and there. And as Mario Cristobal often said whenever the portal stuff came up, when we would ask about it at press conferences and stuff like that, it's also a two-way street because, you know, sometimes you lose a guy that you wish wasn't gonna leave, right? And sometimes you have an honest conversation with someone and say, hey, I don't know what your playing time is gonna look like. You might be better off going somewhere else. And for the most part, I think that is the situation with most of the 14 outgoing transfers for Miami.
It's two way, but I think Mario, I think most of those guys,
most of it has been one way. Obviously. And then some of it is, you know, like disgruntled players, that kind of thing. So I, for this episode, I want to run through the 14. I don't want to like rank them. So many of them have not like really played too much or are so young that they're still works in progress. I kind of grouped in like the three types of portal guys. And really they're probably, you know, four or five in college football. Miami's not, we should say, not lost like any superstars, right? It's not like they've lost, you know, like Jordan Addison last year was maybe, you know, the biggest single name to enter the portal so far in this little portal era we've been in. Obviously, Miami's gotten a couple, you know, Derek King would have been in that same category, I would say. And, and then there's like the guys, a subsection of that category that Miami just can't lose guys like this because they're one of the biggest programs in the country is the guys who are trying to level up, right? The maybe an FCS guy trying to go up to Division One or a G5 guy trying to go up to play Power Five. Quincy Roche would be the perfect example of that, right? An All-American at Temple wants to get a little bit more exposure, play against a little bit tougher competition, and he winds up at Miami and gets to the NFL because of it, or at least partly because of it. I've kind of grouped Miami's 14 into three other types. I have the guys who are kind of the major losses, right? The guys who are, these guys are starters or really, really important role players. And when you lose them, they're the kind of guy who you're like, we got to find a replacement for this kind of guy. Either we got to hope our young guys develop, or maybe we got to find a portal replacement for them. The next group are kind of like the young guys who I still wouldn't be surprised if they're really good at their next stop, right? There's quite a few, freshmen, sophomores outgoing who maybe had a moment, a start here and there, a good game here and there for Miami, a highlight here and there. And just, especially with a new coaching staff coming in, it didn't work out. There's also, I put a couple of veterans in here, just guys who were kind of the fallen out of favor guys who, could go somewhere and be useful players, but probably weren't going to be much more than fringe rotation guys at Miami. And the last one are the guys who we just, I listed them as non-factors. I mean that for Miami, guys who didn't play a huge, huge role for the Canes, and going somewhere else or some of these guys might go down a level or just look for a fresh start somewhere else. And again, this is more prominent because this year, I think, because Mario did not recruit a lot of these guys. All right. So like, we got to start with the big one. It's really the one, like, no doubt major loss they have. And that's Darryl Jackson. That's the biggest piece of news so far for Miami. The one name that is of these 14 that we, I don't want to say like didn't see coming, but like, I think Mario for sure did not want to lose this guy. Right. Like there's a couple other guys who maybe Mario didn't say like, you should move on, but I don't think he was like crying when they moved on. Darryl Jackson, obviously Mario wasn't crying, but like, that's a big loss. That guy was your starting.
No, that's big.
He is, your second or third best defensive lineman last year, only a sophomore. And he and Leonard Taylor next year, like, we all thought Miami was going to have one of the best D tackle tandems, certainly in the ACC, maybe big. One of the best ones in the country. You lose him to Florida State, which is tough.
That was major. And then he announces Florida State, but I kind of felt that
once he went in the portal, it wasn't surprising. Yeah.
Well, as soon as because I had written about him, and then I wrote about him again when he announced he was transferring, and he's from Gadsden, Florida, and it's I think it's 15 miles from Tallahassee.
I didn't realize it was close. I knew he was a panhandle guy,
it's
but
like a 25-minute drive or whatever. I mean, it's right there. So, supposedly his mom is, I don't know what's, it has some kind of situation. I don't know if she's sick or has a health, but the point is, not surprised. It hurts more. It hurts. I mean, it just hurts. I think losing him, he was really good, and Mario really liked him and gushed about him. But
that guy's an NFL player, right? That's the one NFL player they've lost here.
He's NFL. We got another story next year, right? When he goes to UM plays Florida State. Yeah. I mean,
and I remember with him because he started at Maryland.
Maryland.
The buzz, he's now transferred twice in 2 years. And I think a lot of the buzz when he left Maryland was that he wanted to come back to Florida, be a little bit closer to home. Obviously, Miami to Gadsden County is a pretty long way. We don't know if the situation, whatever the situation was up at home, maybe progressed and got trickier. Ignoring all the personal stuff, like, we hope everything is fine with Darryl Jackson. I'm never going to fault a kid for wanting to go play for the hometown team at all. I mean, how many times have Miami fans been frustrated about kids leaving home, right? But yeah, I mean, just on from a pure football standpoint, that's a huge loss. Miami, I think, was, when we talked about all the young guys, right? The on defense, we're like, well, this defense has a chance to be pretty good with James Williams and Cam Kinchins and Leonard Taylor, Wesley Bissaint. Akeem Mezidor, like, Darryl Jackson was part of that group. They got to find a new defensive tackle. Losing another guy. Lost another defensive tackle who's been a pretty useful guy for them. Obviously not to that level, but, and then they're losing a bunch of seniors. Maybe Jared Harrison Hunt can reemerge, a guy who's kind of flashed a lot early in his career and kind of had a little bit of a quiet year. I think he's a little similar to Leonard Taylor, which is tough, right? Like the TFL, like, just wreak havoc kind of guys. That's a tough loss and certainly the biggest one. And really maybe the only major departure so far.
Yeah. I mean, I think so. I'm looking at your little cheat sheet here. And I think that, I think Keyshawn Smith is a valuable player. Everybody was saying, I saw all the stories and people were saying, oh, he was a pretty good returner. He was number one in the nation, David.
Yeah, he was awesome. Like, he was making midseason All-American teams.
Yeah,
like,
he was number awesome. One yeah. in the nation. That's not pretty good. Okay, returner. I liked him. I liked him, period. Not his coach. So do you remember last year? Not this season, but last season. I mean, when the players were talking about him, he could mm-hmm. really sky and make some nice catches and stuff. He never really came through that way.
Yeah, he was kind of a pure deep threat, right? Like once every couple of weeks, they'd hit a bomb to him. And that's a valuable thing to have. But
I'm not sure what happened with him. But I think that's a little, I think special teams are so important. And I think Mario thinks special teams are important. I just think they're really important. And I think that's a big loss. But Mario, there was a situation with his mom.
Yeah, Barry Jackson, I remember a couple weeks ago asked, and Mario was, there'd been a couple situations. That always happens, college football, right? Parents of players are active on social media, I guess we should say. And
right.
Yeah, it seemed like there were some disagreements there with
And then Mario's like, well, anybody, any parent is welcome to come pick up their kid. That became like a meme or whatever.
Exactly.
They can pick up their kid anytime they want. That actually was a classic. That was great from Mario. And it's true. It's true. I mean, parents, oh boy, should not be doing that. I'm a parent and you just got to have some self-control in those situations. Yeah. But, and I'm sure he was just thrilled that his mother did that, but maybe not. Who knows?
We should say, like, Keyshawn Smith, I think, falls in the bucket of, like, there was clearly a disagreement of some kind.
Exactly.
Like if it could have worked out, like, he's talented enough that you wish it could have worked out, because even if he never panned out as a great receiver, he was at least a very, very good special teams player.
Right.
The last guy I had in like the kind of fringe major loss category would be Jalen Knighton, who I know had the fumble issue this year. Never quite as consistent, I think, as people had hoped. And maybe he was going to drop down in the rotation when Don Chaney gets back, Trevante Citizen. But I mean, that's still a guy who, started a bunch of games for you, rushed for 100 yards against Georgia Tech, 3 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago. Was a really good receiver.
He was in 2021.
He looked very receiver. Promising. Yeah.
He led the team in touchdowns. He led the team in rushing in 2021, but and I liked him. I just liked him, not because he was a buck, I promise. But I just, anyway,
doing the
I
buck
just,
symbol for those listening.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, I liked him a lot, but I feel bad for him. He fumbled several times. Mm-hmm. Some of the fumbles weren't even recorded in the stats. And he had a great 118 yard game at Georgia Tech, but I think that was, honestly, it's a very good move by him.
Yeah, I think so too. I think he's definitely good enough to go, maybe not a Miami level, still power five, somewhere else, maybe that's not going to be, assuming Henry Parrish comes back, like Henry Parrish is going to be the starting running back next year.
Boy, I hope Henry Parrish comes back. I really can't stand when these kids declare for the draft early when they really should stay another year.
Yeah,
in my opinion,
I think Parrish will come back, but we'll see. Obviously, I never trust running backs because important to start going pro because you don't want to get injured and all that kind of stuff. So Knighton and Smith, I think, are losses because. Well, now, with Smith, you need to find a new kick returner. And with Knighton, that we talked about, do they need a running back in the portal? They definitely need a running back in the portal.
Absolutely.
Now, right?
Yeah. And Trevante, you know what? Here's the other thing that drives me crazy, but it's college football. This is college football and fans. Okay. Everything that hasn't started yet, all the kids who haven't played are the best.
Okay? Right. They're like, who's to say Trevante Citizen won't have a fumble issue?
Exactly.
Like,
Trevante Citizen is the best, man. He's a stud. He's a whatever. Well, guess what? So was
Jalen Knighton.
Yeah, I mean, so was Jalen Knighton. So were all these
Don
kids.
Chaney, who obviously has been injured all the time. Yeah,
I always liked Don Chaney. I thought he was real good. But the point is,
unfortunately.
Yeah, I can't stay healthy, but I really like him. I really liked his running and stuff. But there's so many guys, and I've heard you say, you know, talk about these guys that now we're saying are quote unquote not really consequential that entered the portal. And I remember you saying they were really good in high school, and they were.
Yeah.
Okay? But it changes once they start playing. It's a whole different level.
Yep. The speed's different. Obviously, the size is different. It's a different sport in a lot of ways.
I think running back is, and I've said this every year, and I know Don Sollinger, you know, the classic best to me running backs coach ever. He always said you can't have enough running backs. They always get injured, always, and they do.
Yeah, I mean, we saw it this year, obviously. It was one of the big stories of the season. All right, the next category I have are kind of the – it's a mix of two different guys. Some of them are young guys who I think have had good moments and we thought at various points looked like future starters at least. And then some are some vets who are, I'll start with the two vets that I have in this category. And that's Gilbert Frierson and Al Blades, two guys who had very solid careers here at Miami.
Yes. I love them both.
But, you know, Frierson didn't play a whole lot this year, a guy who was, a start. It seemed like not a fit in this defense. Obviously, he was a starter at Stryker a couple of years ago, and that was the defense. And then Al Blades, who I don't think you'll find anyone around Miami will say a single bad thing about Al Blades. With he kept sticking around. He changed to safety at one of the best special teams players probably in the entire country.
Smart.
Would start smart at safety in a pinch, would play cornerback when they needed it. Like you said, smart. So those are two guys who just probably were not going. I think Al Blades would have been kind of that, he's that Swiss Army knife in the secondary who I think would have, kind of filled whatever gap necessary. But for the most part, Frierson and Blades, I think, are two guys who, probably going to be able to go somewhere else. And like kind of similar to Knighton, like probably good for them to move on just because better, more opportunities to play elsewhere, I would guess.
I'm really going to miss Al Blades.
Guys. Those are two of the favorites.
And Frierson and Gil. I mean, he was both of them to me like true Canes. I mean, Gil was so excited about being a Hurricane. He was always, I don't know. I just don't know what happens behind the scenes, but I always thought he was talented. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm disappointed, but don't disagree with them.
Mm-hmm.
I do not disagree with her because it was obvious Mario didn't play Gil and Blades the same thing. I really hope they do well wherever they go.
Yeah,
that's all. I'm gonna miss
The rest of this category, I have Romello Brinson, I have Avante Williams, I have Elijah Roberts, and I have Jordan Miller, who's actually an older guy too, but I don't think he ever turned into the. I think he actually had a very good career for like the level of recruit he was. He was not a huge recruit. He was a very late addition to that recruiting class and wound up being a pretty solid rotational defensive tackle. And they're going to miss him, especially. He's the guy I was talking about losing Daryl Jackson. It kind of hurts. Like now you're replacing, obviously you lose like Jake Lichtenstein, Antonio Moultrie to graduation. Now you lose
Jake
Jackson.
Is trying to get a seventh year.
Oh, is he? I missed that. Okay. That would help Miami because they're going to be thin there.
He's trying to get his seventh year, and he's another one. We didn't see him that much, but I thought he was good.
He looked very good in the spring, obviously. He was the star of the spring game.
And smart. Another smart one.
Yep.
I'm thumbs up for Jake.
But anyway, so Miller is a tougher loss because you lose Jackson also, because you just need bodies there right now. They got to go get defensive tackles. As for Brinson, I think we were all pretty excited about him early in his career. Obviously, he made the incredible catch against Central Connecticut last year.
But you know what?
Highlight reel plays every once in a while, but never put it together.
And Jake Garcia loved him.
They came in together. Yep.
Yeah, and I think he was Jake's guy, quote unquote. But
I think they might have been roommates
in that Clemson game. What was that?
I think they might have been roommates at one point. Jake and Maybe,
but I'm not sure. But in that Clemson game, a couple weeks ago or whatever, he made that catch toward the end of the game, and then that struck the pose where he kind of stopped and then pointed.
The first down dance kind of thing.
Yeah, that first down. He like froze and pointed. It was really over the top and kind of obnoxious. I thought, I was like, oh man, that was such a bad look. I mean, to me, as soon as he did that, I was like, cross him off.
Okay, yeah, you know Mario doesn't like that kind of stuff.
Oh my God. If I were a coach, I would hate that. It's very embarrassing for the program. UM is getting killed by Clemson and humiliated, embarrassed again. And the kid makes a catch and does this fancy, look at me. And I thought, oh man, he is not a team player. I mean, or put it this way, I'll take that back. He's
not giving off the appearance of being a team player, I guess.
He's very much an eye guy. Yeah. He might be a team player, but I said, oh, forget that. Mario, and I'm telling you, I guarantee you, Mario was like, ugh. And that was, that was it. That was it. That was enough for me. I know that sounds stupid, but that's a really bad decision to do that.
I agree. Clearly not like what the kind of thing Mario is looking for. And he's a guy who I wouldn't be surprised though if he goes somewhere else and has a good career, because he's promising. We've seen all the flashes. Every time he makes a play, it's always impressive. Just hasn't done it frequently enough. Avante Williams, another one who
what a shame.
You know, came in, has had a very rocky career at Miami, obviously. A medical issue kept him out his entire first year. He got charged and charges later dropped for a domestic violence issue going into his second year, gets suspended, finally shows up, gets on the field for the second half of that year and looked awesome at various points.
Got his
and this year just fell out of the rotation. Al Blades was playing over him. Again, seems like we don't know everything behind the scenes, but seems like was not clicking with the new coaching staff. But like Romello, he'll go somewhere else and could be a star. Like, would not be a surprise at all.
But he is not, I guess, I don't know, just not a Mario guy.
Yeah.
For sure.
The last one I have on this category is Elijah Roberts, who...
I don't think he was that bad.
Actually. No, he's pretty good. Another guy who they probably could use since they're losing Daryl Jackson.
Defensive end.
A great, great kid.
And great family.
Great family. Mom always sings the national anthem at Heat games.
The mom's the best. She's a sweetheart. She's the best. I was sad on that one.
Yeah, I think, but he's another one who it seems like, just kind of probably get more opportunities elsewhere. It would be my guess, right? Because I don't think there's any reason doesn't seem like there was any strife with the coaching staff or anything there. He never gave off we don't know everything behind the scenes, but seems like he's just going to get more opportunities elsewhere. The fringe guy I realized I put Thad Franklin in the last category, but he could also fall in here because, I think we like him as a short yardage guy. You love Thad. I like that a lot too. But, he was just kind of out of the rotation by the end of the year. And that was with a bunch of injuries. Like, it was clear, like it wasn't clicking with his staff.
Right. I'm sad about that one, too. There's some of the guys. But I think he'll do well. I mean, some of these guys, like I said, the ones we talked about, I'm happy for them that they get chances. And they will get their chances. All these guys that we talk about that.
Yeah, especially the ones we've listed now, like those guys are all probably going to still be Power 5 or high level G5, American, high level G5, Power 5 type guys still.
Yeah, I think, I really do wish them all well, all of them. So, mm-hmm. And I do, by the way, I saw you put in an email to me, Portal Madness. And it is kind of madness, by the way. I think some fans have written to me, you know, privately and said, this is ridiculous. Okay. Yeah. I understand I'm following it, but it's ridiculous. And I honestly kind of think it's ridiculous too. I mean, it's chaos. It's been a bit. It is kind of ridiculous. I understand why some of them are leaving, but it's to me, in a way, it's kind of sad. I mean, the great thing about college football, it was always rah, rah, rah for your team. And
yeah. I mean, I grew up a huge college basketball guy growing up in Maryland.
Yeah, forget basketball.
You loved seeing them be freshmen and struggle and have their moments and then be sophomores and they're a little bit more mature and then they're stars later, right? And you don't get that the same way with the portal stuff. Obviously, you get it with some guys like Cam Kitchens, right? Who's, I mean, like that guy's going to be at Miami and it's an incredible story to watch him grow from a freshman to now or.
Right.
You know,
but David, these guys leaving. All of them leaving, the whole damn country. It's just,
I mean, it's obviously not unique to Miami. So,
but it's a whole new sport now. It's not you're part of a team and you stay part of a team. I mean, it used to be you transferred, you had a year, you had to sit out a year. I love the grad transfer rule, you know, that if you graduated, you could immediately come in. Right. Okay. I really like that. But I don't know. I don't know how they could do it. I have no idea, but it just seems like everybody's doing it and it's contagious and it turns it into a game for coaches. I don't know how Mario can handle all this. I mean, you're talking about recruiting the youngest kids in high school and then recruiting the transfer. It keeps changing and not knowing, by the way, 45 day window. For example, no quarterbacks at Miami have left. Okay, but a ton of other quarterbacks have left. So it's like it's a game. It's a definite game. Who's watching to see, like who's waiting to see who goes where? To me, it's like so stressful. I don't know how the kids deal with it.
I wonder if it would be better off tightening the window. Like you think about like the way like NFL or NBA free agency works, like you know who's gone, right? You know who's leaving. And then you build your team based on that. Like you're saying in college football, like you said, guys could be waiting to watching and seeing who's in the portal. And then they could decide on the 45th day. All right, there's this bunch of quarterback openings. Why don't I go somewhere and find a job? I wonder if we tighten it, maybe like the early signing period, like a 3-day, 1-week window or something. I wonder.
Can you imagine?
That would help.
Yeah.
I have to push it back a little bit more because you want the guys to be able to meet with the coaches. And that's part of it, right? Is like you have your exit meetings, basically. And the coach, like, you know, you want a guy who's probably going to be out of the rotation or whatever to be able to go find somewhere else if he's an older guy.
What happens if somebody does it late? Like, okay, so Mario starts recruiting and saying, okay, we're interested in you. Somebody's in the portal. Mm-hmm. Then all of a sudden, in 2 weeks, some stud gets in there. You really want him more.
Yeah. Yeah. Or, you know, Mario, or you get a transfer on the 40th day, and all of a sudden that means that some other player is like not going to play at all. And
they want to go somewhere
else. Like, it's hard. It's really hard for everyone. I know the high school coaches hate it because it's less offers out there for
High school recruits. I never thought about that one.
Certainly makes it more complicated. I mean, eventually it's the COVID year and the extra year of eligibility. There's just more people trying to play college football right now than there are spots. More D1 caliber players than there are spots available. But yeah, it makes it really hard for everyone involved, I think. Like, obviously, there's a lot of benefits, especially for, I think, players who can find better situations for themselves. But I think it's also really hard for everyone involved, too.
And and by the way, I have to add that the players' messages are so, I'm not trying to put them down or anything, but they're kind of funny in a way, because they all talk about I love everybody in this program. I could never want more from a program. This is the most valuable thing I've ever had. You wouldn't believe how much I've learned. With that said, I'm going into the transfer portal, you know. So, but they're doing the right thing.
Yeah. You know? The last week we've delayed long enough. The last couple I have here is like kind of the guys who we never really saw much of. Who knows what's going to become of them, but fresh starts are probably good. Allen High, Jalen Harrell, Keyshawn Washington, Isaiah Dunson, who we actually did see a little bit a couple of years ago. When Miami had some,
he had an interception, didn't he?
Miami had a lot of cornerback injuries that year, and he got on the field and actually looked pretty promising. I think he was he was a pretty big recruit. But we just, I don't remember seeing him like play a meaningful snap all year this year.
I don't understand. He had the last interception of one season and the first interception of another season. I remember that. And this is what I'm talking about.
I also kind of combine him and Marcus Clark. Like, I can never remember which is which.
Marcus Clark
had a pick against Duke.
It might have been Marcus Clark and not Isaiah. I think it was Marcus Clark.
Who also transferred, but earlier in the year.
We talked about Isaiah Dunson as like, oh, Isaiah, when's he going to play? Barry Jackson will be. When's he going to? Yeah. Isaiah Dunson. When's he going to? Well, remember, the guys who haven't played are the best, right?
Yeah. Well, Mark Pope is who's the ultimate. We make fun of Barry all the time for all the Mark Pope questions he asked. He's in the portal again. So. You never know who's going to pan out, how long it's going to take.
By the way, if you're in the portal more than one, you have to sit out, right?
You have to sit out. But once you graduate, you still get the grad transfer free. So you get one free transfer.
Correct.
And then you can obviously get a waiver, which you think is going to happen with Daryl Jackson up at LSU. And then once you graduate, you also get the grad transfer rule still exists where you don't have to sit out.
I like that. By Mark Pope, I can't imagine.
And I believe when you transfer down a level, you also don't have to sit out. So like Mark Pope went to Jackson State.
No, you don't have to. FCS, you never have
so
to.
He never had to. Yeah.
You never have to. Yeah. But and now he's transferring from there. I mean, that if that isn't a red flag, I don't know what is.
Yeah. All right. I think we can wrap things up there. We're going to talk recruiting, but we're running out of time. I guess we should just run through the recruiting news from the last week. Basically two more defenders from Miami, both from Georgia, Marcellius Pulliam, a linebacker from Sandy Creek in Tyrone, Georgia, big physical, you see the kind of linebackers Mario's recruiting and size is clearly important there. You know, I think he's 6'2", 6'3". So not the big, most highly ranked recruit, but certainly fits a physical profile. I think that Mario likes. And then the bigger news was getting Joshua Horton, flipping him from North Carolina the day after North Carolina plays in the ACC championship. So two flips for Miami in the last 2 weeks here from conference championship caliber programs, Horton, defensive lineman from Langston Hughes High School, which I love Langston Hughes. It's a cool high school name. We know Mario loves his linemen. It's a defensive lineman. I'd say the other big pieces of news are Samson Okunlola and Ruben Bain both set commitment dates for next week. Okunlola, five-star tackle, set for next Thursday, I think, right? The 15th. Ruben Bain set for next Friday during the state championship, Miami Central American Heritage State Championship. I'd be very curious to see how he pulls it off and if that one holds, because I think that's going to be tricky to pull off a commitment during a state championship game. I definitely feel good about where Miami sits with Bain, although he is visiting Florida State this weekend.
Yeah, I don't like that. I don't like that for him. I think kids should go.
Yes.
I think kids should go.
Yeah, the last visit is usually a good indicator.
It's their life. And a lot of times last visits are it, and Florida State is like, and Daryl Jackson now is, I don't know. I just... Yeah. I think they should go. Well, less than a minute we have. I think they should visit, but I think it's bad for Miami. I do. Same thing with Okunlola.
Yeah, they had all the momentum. I think so. They had all the momentum with Okunlola in the summer. Didn't capitalize then. So those will be two to watch certainly next week. But anyway, we can wrap things up there. You can follow Susan on Twitter @SMillerDegnan. She's got all your transfer news covered, and there will be more of it, certainly. You can follow me on Twitter at DBWilson2. I've got all your recruiting news covered. So we got the two big angles of this season covered between the two of us. So thanks as always for listening, and we will talk to you guys next week.